Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Yeah, the Jaguars got some revenge yesterday in the rematch of last year's AFC title game. They got their first win in 9 tries against Tom Brady thanks to 4 touchdown passes from Blake Bortles. The Patriots offense struggled, scoring only 3 points in the first half, and Rob Gronkowski was held to 2 catches for 15 yards. Here's Brady on the loss.
You have a bad day against a good team. I mean, it's a recipe for losing. And, you know, we certainly had a bad day, and we got to learn from having bad days. And they're just things don't magically happen. You got to make them happen. And, you know, we got to, you know, all of us have to have more urgency to do things right more often over the course of practices, games. And then it's, you know, a matter of us going out and executing. But it was us. I mean, first couple drives, just us. And then you're behind, and then playing in a situation where playing against a great team on the road that plays well when they're ahead, and they played really well.
Who got a ball ringing like that? Who got a landline in the room like that, phone ringing? Like,
mute your phone.
I don't know. It's you not can't rip Foxborough for that. It was at Jacksonville.
Yeah. Oh, that is a good point.
Go ahead, Jenny. What's your
it
question?
It wouldn't happen.
What's your question?
Foxborough. Okay, so Shannon, who deserves the most blame for that loss?
Why was Tom Brady doing that, Skip?
Do your job.
Wait a minute.
Telling his offensive lineman, you got to block somebody. You got to block somebody.
Is that passion? So receivers, anytime a receiver cut up on the sideline, I'm going to say that's passion. He's not being a diva. He's not being a malcontent. He's not being divisive. He's being passionate, because that's what we say about Tom Brady. Now back to this. Skip, I think we're going to have to give credit to the Jacksonville Jaguars, because here's where the Patriots are going to have a problem. Defensively, people saw Nick Foles throw for almost 400 yards and do what he did in the Super Bowl. So everybody goes into the game saying, we can throw on this team. Because they do not have a front seven, Skip. They don't have one guy they can say, go get home. So they have to try to scheme you schematically. But when you scheme someone, you sacrifice the back end. Coach Belichick really would like to play cover two. Keep everything in front of you, but you can't do that if you can't generate pressure, Skip, because you got to take chances. And as Tom said, we got behind early. The first 3 drives, we didn't do anything. And they spotted Jacksonville, and Blake came out hot. And before I go any further, the Blake Bortles you saw yesterday in this defense, they're good enough to be the representative in the Super Bowl.
Oh, you just jumped on a new bandwagon. Jenner Chop bandwagon jumps.
Man, this guy here.
You're off the Chargers onto the Jaguars.
Why do you do that?
Because you're looking for somebody who has a semblance of a chance against Tom Brady.
No, I'm just saying. So did you see what they did to Tom Brady yesterday?
Is it your turn?
No, it's not your turn.
Are you asking a rhetorical question?
No, I am. But look, the Jacksonville defense held him to 300 total yards. They can put pressure on you by just rushing 4. See, everybody, when you look at the Jags, they can rush you with 4. They got Calais and they got Malik Jackson up front, so they can collapse the pocket. They got Ngakoue and they got Fowler on the edge. And they got fast. Tevin Smith, they got Miles Jack. They can run at the middle backers.
And
then they got 2 corners.
They might have the 2 best tandem corners in the league.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so if you look at the job they did,
they even got Barry Church. You can go to church on him.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Whatever. But anyway, if you see the job they did, if Jalen Ramsey had Gronk, they singled him up man-to-man. Other than that, they doubled him. Skip, they ran a coverage I'd never seen it before in my life, and I played 14 years and I've covered this. They took the whole safety. They double Gronk with the whole safety, and they told the middle backer, which was Miles Jack, he ran to the deep middle of the field. I had never seen a coverage like that. So you bring the whole safety down to double Gronk, and you take the Mike backer and run him to where the safety vacated. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Miles Jack used a new technique, too. It's grabbing Gronk's jersey.
Stop it, Skip, man. It's got hold all the time. Stop
that?
It.
Is that how Doug Marone teaches?
Skip, here's the thing.
I don't know.
Brady was a little off yesterday.
Really?
Blake Bortles was on top of his game yesterday, and guys were making catches. You saw the one-hand catch by Cole. That's as good a catch as you're going to see this year.
I would agree.
Guys made plays. Give Blake Bortles. The thing that I like about them is that they stayed aggressive. Now, they got a lead 21-3, and then all of a sudden they want to hand off on second down, and let Blake throw the ball on third down to end up getting nowhere. But as long as they allow Blake to stay aggressive, the Patriots are going to have problems, Skip, because they can't generate. And I thought, I was like, man, because we watched them in the first game, and you're like, Where was this defense in the Super Bowl that was generating this kind of pressure? Mm. Yesterday, I'm looking at them. I'm like, they're worse than in the Super Bowl. They can generate nothing. And when you can't generate Skip, I don't care how bad the quarterback is. Mm. You let him sit back there unbothered, and they will pick you apart. Mm. And that's what Blake Bortles was able to do. Mm-hmm. They didn't bother him. They didn't get in his face. They didn't pressure him. And he was able to complete pass after pass after pass. The Jags, with this Blake Bortles, they're good enough to be there. Because defensively, they're going to keep him in every game, Skip. That defense is good enough. They're going to be in every game. The question is, can Blake Bortles, I'm not saying play like this, Skip. I'm talking about four touchdowns. But can he be some resemblance of an upper level? Say, can he be a top 10, top 13 quarterback? Anything other, like that, they're good enough to be the representative. Mm.
My turn?
It was your turn.
Thank you. Yes. That was after 12 minutes. You
know.
12 minutes, my God.
Timing you now.
Yeah.
Watch out.
You know what, Skip Bayless?
Bottom line, against that Saxonville defense, in the NFL's hottest game in the last 15 years, since the game 15 years ago outside in Arizona, 97 degrees it was yesterday in Jacksonville with high humidity, Tom Brady played plenty well enough to win that football game. And he did so without his three top receivers from the great comeback that he engineered in the AFC Championship game against Jacksonville up in Foxborough last year. But Bill Belichick's vaunted defense, the genius Bill Belichick, it gave up almost 500 yards and 31 points to a Blake Bortles offense without Leonard Fournette and without its best receiver, Marquise Lee, who's gone for the year. Mm. Are you serious? There's no Fournette and no Marquise Lee, and the vaunted Patriot defense that you were raving about all last week gave up almost 500 yards and 31 points. And Blake Bortles was 10 of 14 on third down.
Yeah, you get
on
beat.
On third down.
You get beat.
So you know what Tom Brady was doing when he was over there hitting his head, do your job? He was maybe yelling in Belichick's direction, do your job, Bill Belichick.
Whoa, whoa. Skip,
because that was just shameful. I'm not out of line. I'm in line on this one because that looked at least as bad as the Super Bowl looked.
They did. 377-373.
It was Blake Foles all over again, right? Yeah. This is the guy you have little to no respect for, Blake Bortles.
Yes.
He had a QBR scale of 0 to 100 of 95 against Bill Belichick's defense. How can you overcome that?
Tom Brady overcomes everything.
Yeah.
Remember?
And just when I thought Brady was about to get them back in the game, what happens? It's another crossing route. It's like Bill Belichick's never seen a crossing route in his life.
No, Skip, that.
I don't know.
No, that's not Coach Belichick.
How about the D.D. Westbrook play? It's just a simple crossing route. And he can't. Oh, here's another. There's Blake Bortles.
Simple.
Just a little crossing route.
Yep, shallow cross.
Cross, cross. Then he turns it up. Can you tackle him? Nah.
Miss.
And maybe you can tackle him? Nah. Can you catch him? Nah. D.D. Westbrook's in the end zone. I'm just sitting back. I'm watching my TV. I'm like, what just happened? I thought this was Bill Belichick.
Go, D.D., go!
Yeah.
Go!
And I tweeted at that point, Belichick, question mark? And then I tweeted, smell a chick, because that just smelled to me.
Smell
that
like what?
Stinks.
Oh, okay.
It stinks.
I thought you were trying to imply something.
Smell a chick. No, smell a chick. It just stinks.
But if you don't mind me asking, Tom Brady's first three possessions when they go three and out,
it's the defense is hellacious good.
No. Yeah. Tom Brady got the ball.
Yeah.
I'm asking you a question. Why did Tom Brady go three and why did not Tom Brady put points on the board with his first three possessions?
Well, he didn't in the AFC Championship game either. They're down 20-10 in the fourth quarter.
And what was the difference? Coach Belichick defense couldn't stand up in the fourth quarter. Tom Brady couldn't do heroic. I keep telling you.
Tom Brady threw for 138 in the fourth quarter of that game.
What did he throw for yesterday?
With 12 stitches in his throwing hand.
What did he throw for yesterday? Healthy. What did he throw for yesterday health in the fourth quarter?
He had a good QBR yesterday. He was in the 70s. That's really good.
70? Blake Bortles said, I do 70 in my sleep against you, good bums.
That's not what you told me last week.
Yeah, I know.
Speaking of bums, I think you basically called Blake Bortles a bum.
He was.
Yeah, okay.
Skip, everybody I'm not saying anything that anyone else hasn't said. They said this team is good enough to get to the Super Bowl if Blake Bortles can play well. Mm-hmm. And he played well. And we've seen flashes of it where he plays like a competent quarterback, but we've also seen flashes where he stinks it up. So let's not pretend all of a sudden I'm making that, I'm just reaching for things out of the sky to say about Blake Bortles.
Okay, so to be objective about this, the Patriots did lose probably their best pass rusher, Trey Flowers, early, and they lost one of their safeties, Patrick Chung, later in the second half. So I'm going to give you those two. But how about Eric Rowe? Remember Eric Rowe, the guy who replaced one Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl? And Malcolm Butler played exactly zero defensive snaps in the Super Bowl.
I know you're
So he was out there yesterday. And every time I looked up, Eric Rowe was chasing another receiver.
Skip, there's nothing he can do about those catches.
I think he's torchable.
Skip, some of those catches. The catch that Cole made. Skip, there's nothing you can do about that. The touchdown, that was a great throwing catch. But I can tell you what, and I know what you're thinking. And when he took Eric Rowe out, I said, Skip's like, you take Eric Rowe out because he's getting torched, but you wouldn't take the guy out that was getting torched in the Super Bowl and put Malcolm. But I say I know Skip.
Thank you.
But here's the thing. You know what got Coach Belichick upset? Coach Belichick says, you know what? My defense is off. Maybe I was off and the play calls was off. Skip, they still had an opportunity. It was fourth and an inch. Coach Belichick has gone over every scenario 1,000 times. If a guy jumps offside, it's less than 5 yards, you move.
You touch. Just touch him or do something. You move. They all stayed stationary. He reached. He reached for his flag.
Right, and nobody moved.
I'm not saying that would have won the game, but it would have given him a better chance.
It would have given him an opportunity. So now all of a sudden they go down and score. It's 24-17. Now we see if Blake Bortles can still make those same throws being up by seven, because we saw in the second half, in the championship game, as the Patriots started their comeback, we saw all of a sudden Blake Bortles is all got the little T-Rex on. He couldn't throw. He couldn't extend like he was when he had that big lead. So even Coach Belichick, sometimes his training, his methods don't always get through in the most crucial times. Because, Skip, they don't normally make those kind of mistakes.
They do not. So my bottom line takeaway from this game is I thought before the year that Tom Brady would again beat Saxonville in Foxborough in the AFC Championship game. Now I'm just not sure he can overcome this shameful defense enough to keep the AFC Championship game at home. I think Tom Brady just well might have to go back to Jacksonville to get to the Super Bowl in Atlanta.
I'm telling you, Skip, teams believe that they can throw on them. Nick Foles put up 373 in the Super Bowl. Blake Bortles just went for 377. So they're saying, look, you don't have a pass rush that can get home. Basically, once Chandler Jones, in the last 10 years, the last decade, the only guy that he had to consistently get home one-on-one was Chandler Jones. But you know, Skip, in order to get home, you have to give up edges. And that's not what Coach Belichick wants to do. You look at Chris Long, the way he rushes the passer in Philly as opposed to the way he rushed the passer in New England. So this is what Coach Belichick, that's the dilemma. But it's hard for him to get out of that, Skip, because he's had such great success doing it his way, playing down the man, not giving up big plays. But it's hard when you let that quarterback sit back there and just pat the ball and like, okay, I want you. Like Skip Bayless. Bing, 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 bing. Bad things happen.
Are you still giving Bill Belichick 75% of
75!
The credit for New England's
75!
75!
Yeah. How about 7%?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. How about 75% of the blame?
Tom Brady could have, on the first three drives, Tom Brady could have put points on the board.
Please.
Could have.
Yeah, could have.
Could have, would have,
should have. Yeah, yeah.
Even after all that. Still, the most shocking thing that happened in the NFL yesterday place at halftime in Buffalo. Stay with us. We'll tell you next.
I might fool that. No mercy.
So the Cowboys got their first win of the season over the Giants last night. Skip came in yelling, screaming, celebrating. Really happy to be here on this Monday. And now we have a new guest. D'Angelo Hall is here. Talk a little bit more about that matchup.
He's celebrating like it's his birthday.
Now he has nothing to say. I'm going to start with you, D'Angelo. Where would you grade Dak's performance last night?
I mean, the point is to win the game. So they did win the game. So I got to give him a C-plus, though. When I look at his performance, though.
He won the game with a C-plus. Go ahead.
Skip, when I look at his performance, it was very similar to Week 1's performance, besides being sacked 6 times.
How many times?
Six, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
None last night.
Yeah, none last night.
Any turnovers last
night? But like Dak said, it wasn't just him that accepted the challenge. That team, that old line rallied behind him, and they protected him. That defense did to him what Carolina did to Dak in Week 1. You know, if you can't protect the quarterback consistently, it's going to make for a rough season. And those numbers were subpar at best. At best. Yes, he didn't turn the ball over, but those numbers were subpar. If you put that performance against anybody else when you're talking about winning the division, making it to the playoffs,
winning
beyond,
a game in the playoffs.
And beyond, those numbers just won't cut it, period. Even like Zeke.
It's not
Zeke
your turn
numbers
yet.
Were very similar, too.
You know where your turn is. You go last. It goes D'Angelo, it goes Gas, Shannon, then Skip.
Save best for last. Go.
Jenny, can you read that top? What grade did I give him?
How would you grade Dak's performance? And you know what? They agree. C+.
I'm telling you. And you say the player. You say you believe in the player. The player's no player. That's what you tell me all the time. C+. Because here's the thing, Skip. He made the big throw. But after that throw to Tavon Austin, he was 14 of 23 for 87 yards. Now, I'm supposed to get my pom-poms out and start, yeah, kick them up. Is that what I'm supposed to do? Or get me a big old sign that says, yay.
Who'd you pick to win?
I picked the Giants.
Oh,
but hold on. This Jenny didn't ask. That was not the question that Jenny asked.
True.
Jenny asked, how would I grade Dak's performance? So the Giants.
So if you thought he was going to lose and he won, it seems like you'd have to go a little higher than C+.
No, no one.
Did he throw an interception?
No.
No. Did he fumble? No, he didn't fumble.
Skip.
Did he get rid of the ball?
Hold on, Skip. So you want me to jump head over heels, do cartwheels, look like I'm Nadia Comaneci out here, 16 to 25 for $160. And he had a long of 64. So after that, he had a 96 yard. So if you take away that 9-yard completion that he had the first, come on, Skip, let's be real about it. He ran the ball exceptionally well. They ran the RPOs. They did a great job with the zone read. The question I have moving forward, when you give that guy 28, 29 million, you guarantee 80 million. You still gonna run that zone read stuff? That, we'll talk about that another day. We'll talk about his performance. I gave him a C+. Let me ask you a question. Was Rico, your guy, you love Rico Gathers. Was he wide open on that sale route? So can you tell the people at home, because they went to bed early because the game.
Tell me when it's my turn. My turn to go?
After you answer this, you could have the floor. Rico Gathers runs a 7 route.
I have to go now. I have to go.
Okay, I'm going to let you go. Can I finish you? Let me finish your point.
Well, I'm going to finish yours for you.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I'll just preempt you.
Okay, go ahead.
I give Dak an A- because he went missed one throw all night to my man Rico. He put a scorcher on him in the secondary, and he was suddenly wide open in the back of the end zone. And I call for this because that was a bad throw. He just missed him. He had a blitzer right in his face, but he just flat out missed him. The stadium, the roof would have exploded off the top of that stadium if Rico Gathers had hauled that in. Big number.
How are we going to haul it in when he threw the ball out of bounds?
I just said, if you hit him up high and he's 6 feet six, so you could.
If
you got
Dak has on a different colored jersey right now, you're not giving him
an A-. I would too.
No.
So let's do this. QBR, which takes into account all the everything a quarterback does, legs, arm, degree of difficulty, what's the down and the distance. He had a 78 on a scale of 0 to 100 last night. That's pretty great, especially against that New York Giants defense. And I'm going to remind both of you once again, the great Blake Bortles went up to New York in the season opener. This is the same Blake Bortles who had a 95 QBR against the great Bill Belichick yesterday. The same Blake Bortles who scored 4 touchdowns on New England yesterday, scored 1 at New York, scored 1 on this defense because it is good.
How did Dak score?
Blake Bortles threw for a grand total of 176 yards and did get picked off in that game and had a QBR of 41 against the Giants because the Giants are really good on defense. This was challenge accepted for Dak Prescott because the whole NFL world, including these two Cowboy haters, tuned in to watch him fall on his face. And what did he have to work with? What is his degree of difficulty? He has no Travis Frederick at center. He has no left guard because Connor Williams should not be in the starting lineup, the rookie out of Texas, and he was often overmatched again last night. And he has, Dak Prescott, no number one receiver because I'm not even sure he has a number two receiver because I don't think you guys think he has a number two. So is it hard against that defense to get anybody open?
Well, D-Hall and I would call him number two, but that's a different story.
Call who?
Receivers.
All right, that's fine. Well, you just made my point for me. Thank you very much. So I think you're saying they don't even have a number three receiver, and Ezekiel Elliott is not yet in game shape. No, he's got his little double chin, and he looks a little hefty to me.
Yeah, he'll work in shape.
And he'll have to play his way into shape because he played no downs in any preseason game.
But you're comparing him to Blake Bortles? You're saying he had a better game than Blake Bortles?
Heck yes. The QBR says he had twice the game.
But that's the standard?
Well, help me out against the great Bill Belichick.
But Blake, a 95 but Blake Bortles had 16 more yards passing against that Giants defense.
16 more yards? Are
I just know moving
me?
Forward, Skip.
So what happened last night?
What happened?
With the world watching and waiting for him to fall on his face mask. What
Nobody
happened
was
right
waiting
out
for that.
Yeah, after Landon Collins called him out and said, put the game in his hands, we got a much better chance of winning. Dak came out angry, but when he comes out angry, it is focused, channeled, angry. And right away, he throws to somebody that the man across from me, the Hall of Famer Shannon Sharpe, said should not be at wideout because he can't play wideout. Tavon Austin.
I think he can play wideout.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I think.
What about that angle that safety took?
I don't care.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Was that not a rocket that the quarterback threw? Because he's got a big arm. He threw it on a line where the safety couldn't get there and hit Tavon right in his hands.
If I would have saw more of that, Skip, my grade would have definitely been up higher. But I just know
the Giants are really good.
They can't win.
And you know what? My offensive line could not win the line of scrimmage very often last night. And I didn't think they protected Dak very well, but he played really smart, flawless football. Where when he was in trouble, he just got rid of
him. And part of my problem, it wasn't even on Dak. It's on Jason Garrett and the play caller. He has to call different plays. You saw
Scott Linehan expose
the passing game by throwing that ball to Tavon Austin. Mm-hmm. It's nobody on the Giants defense can run with him. Okay. You have to find
even
a way to give him the ball.
He can lock up Dez Bryant because that's easy because a lot of people can lock him up.
But see the thing, but give Tavon credit because normally when a receiver wants to run the goal ball, he wants the outside relief. But Tavon's so quick, he inside release and then pushed back out. Yeah. So now he has Jackrabbit in a trail position. And the safety took a horrible angle. Mm-hmm. That's the deep safety. He's got to pick that.
It's a rocket.
It ain't no.
He outthrew the safety. Did he not?
D-Hall.
Did he not outthrow
D-Hall, you play corner and safety. Can you tell him about that angle?
I'm 34 years old. I think I could have got there. I'm telling you, Skip.
It was a good ball.
I just wanted to see more of that from Dak because that's what it's going to take to stop. That's what it's going to take for the Cowboys to be successful because they're going to face teams that put eight in the box just to stop Zeke.
Every key play in that game was made by that quarterback, number four. And they're little big plays. They're not going to show up in the stats. Third down plays, RPO plays, zone plays.
I was just over here all week pounding the table
saying, you have to let him run the read option. You have to.
He keeps talking about third down plays. They were 3 of 10 on third down.
But all the key ones. 30, yeah. Wait a second.
He only had three.
What happened when the game is teetering, the game is on the line, early in the fourth quarter, who eats 8 minutes and 23 seconds a clock with an 18-play, 82-yard drive? Who made every play in that drive?
But Skip, when he faces another team that they don't sack six times and that –
the quarterback
can actually stay on schedule.
Yeah.
You know, I was a big.
Does my team have Odell Beckham Jr.?
Yeah, but you got to get him the ball.
You got to be able to protect to get him the ball.
Can Zeke run 40 like Saquon? No, he can't. He didn't have that kind of stuff.
I'm just saying, Dallas are not going to win a lot of games this season if they're only scoring, 17 to 18 points.
I've been telling you the whole preseason. My defense is really good. And when my defense gets David Irving back and Randy Gregory back and Dayton Jones back, you're going to be in big trouble because we're going to be doing a lot of this on defense is what we're going to do because we're going to be feasting on the quarterback.
What about your offense?
It's really good.
It's good enough. We're going to see a lot of these vintage 18-play, 82-yard drives. And guess what? Today, we signed Bryce Butler. Did I not beat the table last week and say, go get him?
Yes.
He is Dak's favorite receiver from last year. He averaged 21 yards a catch. I'm not saying he's a number one because we've had him on the show. And again, I like him personally, but he's got high football character, and he has deep connection to Dak Prescott.
And he can run.
And he can run. And he's a big kid, too. And he will get open deep every once in a while because remember the Arizona Monday night game last year?
It was the third week last year after
the debacle in Denver. Bryce Butler caught two home runs from Dak Prescott. Yeah. That's going to happen again. So do I have Dez in his prime? I do not. Do I have Jason Witten in his prime? I definitely do not.
And you say all that, and D-Hall and I still give him C+.
Yeah,
and
that's A minus.
C+.
They need a tight end.
Tell me that degree of
difficulty. By the way, we put Blake Jarwin, our starting tight end, in on the hands team at the end of the game, and the ball hits him right in the hands, and he can't even catch that. I know it's hard to catch those because they're a little tricky. But
the thing is, because you see them, you see the
Whoop.
I want no part of that.
Here we go, and I have to sit back and sweat the end of the game.
Skip, I want you to stop saying degree of difficulty.
It's high degree of difficulty. This isn't gymnastics. My line is below average right now.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
I'm sorry.
You still got Zach Martin
it.
Who's going to the Pro Bowl. Tyron Smith going to the Pro Bowl. Yeah. So stop.
I'm not sure if he's going to this year's Pro Bowl.
Yeah, Skip wants five Pro Bowlers.
Yeah.
Most teams got one or two.
Well,
this is not
2016 where we just blew people off the ball. That was 2016. It's over now. This is a new era.
Yeah.
Connor Williams shouldn't be starting. Well, I don't think he could start for a lot of teams here's at the left thing, guard.
Skip. Maybe that's the best Dak Prescott you're ever going to see, what you saw in 2016.
Well, I saw the same guy last night. I did. He just
with 160 yards?
Well, the Giants are really – you mark my words. Okay. Just remember I said this. The Giants are a top five defense. They are really good on defense.
But they're top – they're bottom 32 offense.
Yeah, and because that defense is going to be put out there more,
exactly.
They won't finish in the top five. Well, I'll take that bet.
Okay. Well, I don't know because all I heard
– I just know they're going to be on the field a lot.
What did I tell you about Saquon? You can't run him between the tackles.
You can, but you just got to block for him. Skip, you can't have him being Barry Sanders. He got to juke two or three people just to get out the backfield.
What about Nate Solder? Pro Bowl.
What about, Skip, the offensive line is the only unit that needs to play as one. You got five guys, but they need to be as one. They have to be cohesive. Mm. And you see that offensive line, they're a mess.
Mm. My defense is really
good. Oh, my goodness.
It's really good. And how about my man Woozy? You know Woozy,
yeah,
from Colorado.
Yeah, I know him.
Did he not do a number on Odell? I don't
know.
Eli had enough
impressive.
Time to get some balls to Odell.
Exactly.
He threw him nine balls.
Eli missed a lot of throws.
Yeah.
Eli gone.
Well, I stood up in here and said, hey, they should not draft Saquon because they weren't a running back away.
Oh, yeah. Right. That's a whole.
But that's a whole nother subject.
Boy.
Yeah, you're right about that, Eli.
So the Redskins are 1-1. The Eagles are 1-1. The Cowboys are 1-1.
I thought you guys were. You told me y'all going to be 2-0. Y'all going to run away with
I
the
did
division.
Not. I predicted they would lose at Carolina and beat the Giants.
Who
I
y'all
told
play
you
next week?
They're heading to Seattle. And Seattle has a short week because.
You want to try to get it back
no,
on that?
No. Not against Seattle.
Feeling good now? Feeling confident?
I'm doing pretty well over here. Yeah. I'm just doing what I thought I would be doing.
That pass rush will be neutralized when my man Russ gets the ball. That's for sure.
Oh. So you like Seattle?
Hey, I like Russell Wilson.
He's really good.
No, because Bobby Wagner hurt KJ Wright. They got that six of the defensive guys out. No.
They got Earl.
You know what's your best No
mercy. Boy, was there plenty of controversy in Green Bay yesterday. With under 2 minutes left in the fourth and the Packers up 8, Kirk Cousins threw an interception that would have sealed the win for Green Bay. But Clay Matthews was called for a roughing the passer penalty. Referee Tony Corrente said Matthews was flagged because he lifted Cousins up and drove him into the ground. The Vikings went on to tie the game, and that was the final score after two missed field goals in overtime. Take a listen to Matthews on the controversial play.
It's just what a terrible call it was, but at the same time, I don't know what else to do. I mean, I don't know. You let me know. Let me tell me, did I put pressure on him? Because I thought I hit him within, his waist to chest. I got my head across, put my hands down, and to call it, at that point in the game, it's just, I mean, it's unbelievable. Last week, okay, shame on me, but this week, I mean, that's unbelievable. So, and the worst part is, we'll probably send it in. And you know what they're gonna say? They're gonna say, they'll find fault on me because they're gonna agree with the refs. So I don't know. It's a difficult call to call, and I mean, you see how it changed the game. And I know there's an emphasis on protecting quarterbacks, but it's gotten out of control here. I don't know what else to do.
Shannon, was it a penalty on Clay?
Yes, this is the textbook. When the NFL was drawing this rule up saying we don't want the defender to put his weight on the quarterback, this is textbook. Hmm. Skip, this is the Aaron Rodgers rule. You remember Anthony Barr knocked Aaron Rodgers out of the game last year because he put his body weight on him and he drove him into the turf. Hmm. This is the exact same thing. Clay Matthews understands you cannot drop your body weight. Tom Brady also has a rule. Skip, you remember? Hmm. You can no longer hit the quarterback in the pocket below the waist. Tom Brady got hit in the knee, tore his ACL. They changed the rule the next year. Aaron Rodgers get knocked out of the game, first or second game of the season last year? They changed the rule the following year. This is the way it is, Clay. You're going to have to adapt. You cannot teacup the guy, which means he lifted him ever so slightly, and his shoulder was driven into Kirk Cousins. Give Cousins my first cousin. I told you, Kirk, for real. I told you my first cousin was going to do this thing, Skip Baylor, because even though that might be the Clay case, and I know what you're going to say, that play changed.
Have I spoken?
No, I'm not talking.
Said a word.
Can I talk? This is my
turn.
Get it. I didn't ask you anything.
You always put words in my mouth because you're going first.
Yes, exactly.
So why don't you speak for you and for me, and then we'll go to the next question.
No. I don't want to do that because I want to hear what you have to say because I got to bust you up. I already know because here's the thing. Yes, that gave the Minnesota Vikings a second chance, a new life.
True.
But at the end of the day, old first cousin still had to get him into the end zone. Mm-hmm. And not only did he have to get him in the end zone, he had to get him a two-point conversion. Mm-hmm. But how he made that throw on the sideline, Jenny T, to old Adam Thielen, I still don't know how he got it in there.
Special.
He got to be magic.
Oh,
Copperfield.
I can't wait.
No, you can't wait. Oh, Copperfield. That was Copperfield-esque.
Really?
Houdini-esque. Yeah. They got shows in Vegas that the magic is not that good.
Huh.
Yeah. And I done seen a bunch of shows. Huh. Saw Penn and Teller. So Chris Angel. I've seen a bunch of them shows. Wow. And they don't got magic like what old first cousin did yesterday. Mm. And then that old sluggo robbed Stephon Diggs to get that two-point conversion.
That was sweet. I'll give you that one.
But Skip, this was textbook. If the NFL wanted to show guys, this is what we're trying to do. Because like you said, quarterbacks are the face of the NFL. And they don't want these guys hurt. They missed Aaron Rodgers for, 8-9 weeks last year. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady missed 15 weeks of the season. They don't want that. So they're not going to let you drive the quarterback into the dirt anymore. Mm-hmm. Hence, this is why you're seeing 5, 6, 7 touchdown performances. Mm-hmm. This is why you're seeing guys back in the day, Skip, you know they would have never thrown for 400 yards. Mm. This is why you see the offensive explosion, because the quarterback is protected, the receiver's protected, and now you're getting these offensive numbers that are going haywire. But Skip, this was textbook. Clay Matthews picked the guy up ever so slightly, and he drove his shoulder into him. This was the right call. And there, look, if this is a foul in the first quarter, if this is a penalty in the third quarter, it's got to be a penalty. Mm. Time of the game should not influence, should not dictate when you throw the flag. A flag is a flag regardless the time of the game and whether or not the outcome of the game could possibly hinge on it. Mm. But at the end of the day, that flag did not give them a touchdown. Cousins still had to drive this team into the end zone and get the two-point conversion. And he did it like I knew he would. Mm.
So everything you just uttered was just as wrong as that flag was. And all your opinions backed up by Jenny from Minnie here because she's a Vikings fan.
Yes.
No, she's on your side.
No.
She said, no. Oh, yeah, I forgot.
I was like, wait a second.
My bad, Jenny.
It's okay.
I'm pretty sure that referee Tony Corrente who threw that flag was also a judge at the Triple G fight the night before, of the judges who stole it from Triple G. I think he did double duty.
Really?
I'm serious.
Busy weekend.
This was an even bigger robbery, and I thought that was an all-time robbery because I tweeted it round by round, and I thought that Triple G took that fight over in the sixth round and imposed his will on Canelo all the way home, and he lost because two judges said he lost.
Canelo was aggressive.
This was even worse. This is in Green Bay on the hallowed tundra of Lambeau Field.
It was.
This is Tony Corrente throwing a flag that canceled out a sure Packers victory. It's game
Highly
over.
Highly respected, Tony
game
Corrente.
Game over. Yeah.
Highly respected.
And by the way, before I get to just how bad this call was, right on schedule, your guy, what do you call him, first cousin?
First cousin.
He turned right back into Kurt Cousins. Right on schedule, because with 2:13 left, he threw an interception that wasn't exactly his fault, but it was, once again, wild-eyed, over-amped, over.
Did it hit the guy's hand?
Yeah, hit Laquon Treadwell right in the hands, but he threw it too hard, and it's just one
There's
of those
no
shockingly.
Such thing.
Well, it's just one of those passes where he's just like, oh, I'm out of my mind, and he throws it, and Laquon Treadwell's like, right through his hands, intercepted. But now we get to the key point. It's now down to 1:45 left. It's first and 10 at the 25, and Kurt Cousins comes flying apart again because he drops back. He goes blind. He goes deer in headlights. He's blinking, and he just flings it as far as he can fling it to nobody. It looked like Jair Alexander, the rookie cornerback, first-round draft pick out of Louisville for the Packers, looked like he was the intended receiver on this play. And it is easily intercepted, and I'm saying, there he is! That's Kurt Cousins!
Yeah,
there he is!
And
then all of a sudden I hear him say, oh, there's a flag. What? There's a flag for what?
You
for
know what? You know what?
And I watch the replay, and I fall out of my chair because there was absolutely nothing wrong with what Clay Matthews did. He basically just nice and easily tackled Kurt Cousins. That's all he did. He tackled him just as the ball was leaving his hands.
No, he didn't.
Did he pick him up and drop him as Tony Corrente? Let's see that again.
Yes.
Did he pick him up and drop him? No, he just tackled
him.
Did he fall with all of his body weight on Kirk Cousins? No, he fell sideways. He missed him completely.
Well, next time, put him in a snuggie.
Oh, please.
Put him in a snuggie.
Did he hit him helmet to helmet?
No,
he did not hit him helmet to helmet. It was as nice and easy and clean a tackle of the quarterback. Was Kirk Cousins hurt on this play?
You don't have to get hurt for it to be a flag. Yeah, you know better.
As Kurt himself said after the game, it was a generous call. Yeah, it was real generous. And Clay Matthews got victimized again because the game is flat out over. It's 1:37 left, and the great Aaron Rodgers has the ball back, and he's going to make one first down, and they're going to kill the clock, and it's going to be over because it's 29-21 at that point. They're up 8 points.
If you don't mind me asking. Okay, when they got that penalty, how many points did the Vikings get for that penalty?
How many points?
Yeah. They got none. So Kirk Cousins.
The game's
still
over. It's over now.
Whoa.
Time out.
Okay, they got the first down. They gave him 15 yards. But did they get 8 points for that? Or did the Vikings have to drive down the field, get a touchdown, and a two-point conversion?
So, speaking of that, the touchdown pass to Thielen that you talked about, you did not point out that the magic was that this was such a bad throw that two Packers should have intercepted it before Thielen caught it. And believe it or not, this ball actually grazes off Jair Alexander's jersey. It hits 23's jersey. It hits on the way down. It actually caroms slightly off his jersey. Look at this. And to Thielen's credit,
walk into it, Kirk.
To Thielen's credit, he stays locked in on the football and he watches it all the way into his hands. And it was another. It should have been the third pick of the game for Kirk Cousins. Gave you the 2-point conversion pass, the fade route. It was beautiful. It was just beautiful. That's too good.
But see, what first Cousins is showing you, what he's capable of when you surround him with better talent. You give him Thielen. You give him Diggs. You give him Rudolph. You give him Cook. You give him Latavius Murray. Now, we didn't get a chance to talk about him. Look at old check down Alex. How did he look yesterday, Skip? With that same team. Now, first Cousins was throwing for 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns.
Yeah, and right on schedule. Every time against my Cowboys, I could just book it that he would throw it to us when you least expect it.
Well, he don't have to play the Cowboys, so you don't have to worry about it.
1-6 against my Cowboys, and he should be 0-1 against his division rival.
He should be.
He threw the interception that ended the game.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
That's such an outrageous call. How can you throw that flag at Lambeau on the Packers?
Easy, because it was a penalty. That's how you throw a flag.
The NFL cannot defend this.
Yes, they can. I'm defending it. I'm defending it for
it. And by the way, somebody who's like an Aaron Rodgers idolater, almost in the same vein as he is LeBron James, LeShannon Sharp.
Yes.
He told me all last week, there's no way that Aaron Rodgers should play in this game.
What did they say?
No way.
What did they say? He should not have played.
Really?
Yeah.
He looked really good. Could we see early play? It's 3rd and 7. Can we see this?
It's
3rd and 7 in the first quarter. It's a tie game. And what did Aaron Rodgers do? Do we have the scramble?
Yeah.
He scrambled. Oh, we don't have that one. I'm sorry. But he goes right up the middle, and he actually
gets the first down.
Can I use the verb, he ran?
No,
ran.
He labored.
He ran. He didn't labor. He ran all the way up the middle, 7 yards for a first down.
How many
times? You believe in this?
Let me ask you this. And Aaron Rodgers is 13, 14 years in the National Football League. How many times have you seen him wear a knee brace?
Well, it's because, as Adam Schefter of ESPN reported yesterday, he has a bruised knee. It's bone bruised. So you want to protect the knee from taking another shot directly on the knee. But his ligaments were all okay, which is exactly why the team doctor a week ago Sunday night against the Bears at halftime said at halftime, you cannot hurt it any worse. It's because the ligaments were fine. He's doing his hands on test.
If his ligaments are fine,
they're solid.
If his ligaments are fine, he doesn't need a knee brace.
You got the brace on to protect it from taking another shot to the knee because it's very painful, but it doesn't hurt to run straight forward.
All I'm saying is, how many times have you seen Aaron Rodgers play with a knee brace?
Here's the run. Look at this. Did he? Boy, that looked like.
That made he was hobbling.
That looked like Jared Rodgers. Wait a second.
Look at this.
Look at this. He takes off running.
Look at this.
I wouldn't know he was hurt.
Yes, he's
got a balky brace on his knee. But
let me ask you a question.
Wow, that was.
Tom Brady wears.
That was the limp around guy. Remember, he's playing on quote unquote one leg.
Yeah, he was. But let me ask you a question.
Interesting.
If you notice, there's nothing wrong with Tom Brady's knee, but he wears a knee brace. Why, Skip?
Well, because he's been through it.
He's comfortable with it, so he's used to wearing it. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers is not used to wearing a knee brace.
Interesting.
And when you're used to having on things, when you're an athlete, Skip, we get into a comfort zone. So whatever kind of pad you wear, you normally stick with that. Mm-hmm. And when you have to go outside of your comfort zone, it becomes cumbersome.
Brace or no brace? I told you Aaron Rodgers would play well enough to win the game, and he did. I thought he played very well against one of the top five defenses in pro football, and he should have won the game. And Tony Corrente, who reffed the Golovkin fight the night before.
Yeah. No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
But let me ask you a question.
He stole it.
Did First Cousins play well enough to win the game?
No. He threw and picked
that man threw for 425
yards.
That's
vintage. Remember that Thanksgiving against Dak when Dak went 4-for-4 in the red zone?
Yeah.
Cousins threw for 500 yards and lost.
He threw for 450 something. But anyway, but hold on, Skip. The man was 35 of 48 for 425 and four touchdowns.
The Packers are not very good on defense. They are not very good. They're going to have a hard time.
Oh.
You know it.
Now all of a sudden the Packers aren't very good on defense.
They're not. They're just not.
Whoa! Ugh. So where have you been saying this when Aaron Rodgers losing the playoffs? Mm. I've been thank you. That's all I wanted him to do, Jenny. You say I wanted him into that trap. I just wanted to get him on record saying
I'm just echoing you.
No!
The Hall of Famers told me for years. That's all I ever hear. They're terrible on defense.
All I wanted to do was get you on record.
I just echoed you.
Saying the Packers
aren't very good. He was good enough to win the game. It was over.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
If the flag doesn't get thrown, what happens?
If Clay Matthews doesn't do what he does, does the flag get thrown?
Well,
You can't put your body weight on the quarterback.
He didn't put his body weight on the quarterback.
He did.
That's absurd.
Highly respected Tony Corrente. You need to put some respect on his name.
You know what? He even had a bad view of it because 52, the jersey's in between him and the quarterback.
Stop! You know what, Skip Bayless? I can't believe you said that. Now you're talking about the man's view was obstructed.
I can't see.
Yeah, he couldn't see what was happening.
That's why they put him back there so he can see everything. No
mercy. So take a listen to this story. Bills cornerback Vontae Davis abruptly retired at halftime of the team's loss to the Chargers yesterday. After the game, the 10-year vet issued a statement saying, quote, "Today on the field, reality hit me fast and hard. I shouldn't be out there anymore." Coach Sean McDermott said after the game, Davis, quote, "pulled himself out of the game. He communicated to us that he was done." Wow. Shannon, have you ever seen anything like this?
Never in all my life. Skip, you know I grew up on a farm, so I've seen, my grandfather had hogs, we had chickens. I was in 4-H, I went to a county fair, a goat show, and a cow show, and I've never seen or heard bleep like this before in my life, Skip. Never. Now, I've seen guys quit in training camp, Skip. Guys have been, 12, 13, 14 plus years, you're practicing 3 hours a day, the old way to practice, not now, but the old way, and you don't want to do it like, no. Normally, Skip, when a guy reaches this conclusion, he says, you know what? I don't want to lift this heavy-ass weight anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't want to eat like I've been eating for the last 10, 15 years. Mm-hmm. I don't want a condition like what it requires me to go out there and compete at my absolute best. They do this in the off-season. Mm-hmm. They don't do it in the heat of competition.
For sure.
But if you remember last year, Skip, Miesha Tate sat right there. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know what? It came to me in the middle of the fight that I was done. She said, I hated that it happened that time, but I had to keep fighting or I could have seriously been hurt.
Yep.
Vontae Davis, I commend him, Skip, because we said, you know what, man, that guy's just stealing money. And I know some other guys that have quit. They quit mentally, but they still showed up physically. He was in a place that he says, you know what, I don't want to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. Now, Buffalo said, I wish you had told me that earlier. Skip, he didn't just come to this realization yesterday. If you remember, Indy cut him, was it last year? Mm-hmm. So this was here, this was brewing. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe he's like, if you watch the footage of it, the Chargers were scoring touchdowns. There's not a Buffalo defender in sight. So Vontae Davis said, hell, a lot of you guys retired. Are you seeing what I'm seeing? I'm just man enough to walk away from it. And Skip, when you get to this point in time, when I was talking about this last night, when you reach this point, you know what you do? You walk into the locker room. You throw your uniform in the middle of the clothes. You take a shower, you get dressed, you look around because you realize I'm never coming back in another locker room again. Mm-hmm. You deuce them out.
Correct.
When I heard it, I was like, I'm reading Twitter, it's coming up on the thing, it's coming like Vontae Davis, retires. I'm like, how the hell you retire? How you retire during the game? Skip, I've never, ever heard, and I've heard, listen, I've shared some stories and I've heard some stories, but this is, might be one of the strangest stories in my 14 years of playing and being around it for another 15 years that I've ever heard in all my life.
So, I'm with you on this. I have zero use for and zero respect for Vontae Davis saying no Moss at halftime. If he wanted to do it after the game, if he wanted to do it today, I'm fine with that. Because this was predictable to me if you look at his recent history. I don't think his mind or his body was into what was going on the football field yesterday. Yes. And he knew it just like Misha Tate said she knew it. So let's look quickly back at his career. He was the 25th pick in the first round for the Miami Dolphins, and he was basically a bust in Miami.
Yes.
And they traded him to Indy, and he sort of found himself. He's found a second home and a second life in Indianapolis. And in 2014 and 2015, he made the Pro Bowl.
He did.
And he got his money. He got $20 million guaranteed. He has made $54 million for his career. But right on schedule last year, he tears his groin early in the year. He says he needs surgery, which he did, so he had surgery. And Indy said, we are out.
Right.
We are done, and we cut you at the end of the year. And I'm pretty sure he's thinking, am I done yet? Like, is this it? But Buffalo calls and says, hey, we'll give you $2 million more. And on top of the $2 million guaranteed, we'll give you $50,000 a game that you make the 46-man roster. So he's thinking, well, I don't know, it's pretty easy money, right?
And they gave $1.5 to sign and $2 million fully guaranteed at his base salary.
Right. All right.
That's $3.5 million.
Okay, so he's saying this is just like easy money, right?
Stealing.
Like stealing money.
Yeah.
But you still have to actually play football.
Correct.
So what happened in OTAs? He was not ready to play yet. He was not healthy coming off his surgery. What happened in training camp? He could not play. What happened in the season opener this year, the first game? He was inactive.
Right.
And what happened right on schedule? Buffalo, probably the worst team in the league.
Right.
They have so many injuries at corner and safety.
They had to play him.
They had to play him. And not only did they have to suit him, they had to start him. And what happens right away in that game? You saw it.
Yes.
Mike Williams gets wide open and victimizes this guy, Vontae Davis.
Yes.
The former Pro Bowler is ashamed that he's just getting lit up because he just doesn't want to play anymore.
No, he doesn't want it.
Okay? So he should have stopped, but he's trying to steal the money.
Yeah.
And guess what? They yank him after the first touchdown pass. It was a 7-0 touchdown pass to Mike Williams. They yank him and they bench him. And he's saying, what do I need this for?
Right.
And I'm sure he's overreacting. And I, from his post, his Instagram post or whatever, it looked like he was kind of trying to apologize between the lines by saying, he never said I shouldn't have done this. But he said, he's basically just telling you,
not how I envision my retirement.
No.
Sure.
And he's, as you mentioned, Skip, he's a shot fighter. But when somebody says, okay, here's $1.5 million, we'll guarantee you $2 million, and every game that you're on the roster, you'll get $50,000 in incentive, plus you're a veteran player. So that so he could have made, what, $5 million this year alone?
Right.
But come on, bro. No,
I
don't care what
they do it this way.
You do not get.
All he had to do, is come back out and stand on the sideline for the whole second half.
Yes, that's all he had to do.
And it's over.
Right.
Right.
No, and then go in this, and go in Monday and say, Coach, I ain't got it no more. He said, I appreciate everything. He said, I appreciate you guys giving me an opportunity and believing in me. But Coach, mentally, I'm not here. Physically, I just can't do it anymore.
Yep.
And now you have some dignity, man. How you look at that man? And they, people ask me, well, what were you saying? I wouldn't have said anything. I might have had to whip him because we get whipped. Buffalo are the best team. I'm like, man, get on up out of here.
Yeah.
Because first of all, you've been pretending all this time, because I can assure you there have probably been some of his teammates going to the coach. Hey, man, we need to give Vontae a look.
Yeah.
Man, put Vontae in there. He can't be no worse. So now I'm vouching for you. You got my credibility, and then you pull this bull jive.
That's correct.
Man, kick rock. Get out of here.
So several of his veteran teammates were real agents.
You should be.
They creamed him out.
Yeah.
They should have, because I can't defend any of this.
No.
But I do get it.
Yeah.
I do see it. I do feel what he was feeling. He's a former Pro Bowler who was humiliated to even step on the field and get torched by Mike Williams.
Right.
And he says, I can't. He also did not want to associate with the mess that is now the Buffalo Bills, starting Josh Allen at quarterback, who struggled. I think he had like a 14 QBR.
Yeah, and it's not going to get any better. But that's the thing, Skip. Normally, like I said, you've made it the hard part. Think about it. You condition all season. You've eaten, had to eat a certain way. You had to do certain things. You go to, through training camp. Skip, the hard part is over. They don't practice hard anymore in the regular season. Basically, it's a lot of walkthrough. You do a little minimal work, and then you go play the game. Mm. So it's not like it's strenuous like it used to be.
Hey, but what did you tell me? You hit this wall at one point where you just said, I can't take the meetings anymore.
Skip, that's what it was. Skip, I still enjoy training. Yeah. I still enjoy eating that way. I still enjoy conditioning. It was just the meetings. Okay. And, I believe if Mike would have told me, say, well, Shannon, you don't have to do meetings. I believe I would have turned the CBS deal down because I still love the
Mike
place.
Mike would not have told
me. No, he
that.
Wouldn't have told me that. No. So I had to tell him I had to go.
Yep.
If I would go to meetings, I would go to meetings somewhere I would be happy.
Well, somewhere Vontae's collecting his last check, you know, like he's good.
Nah, I'm holding on to it. I would say, no, you got to sue me. Yeah. Go to the Players Association and sue me to get it because you didn't fulfill your obligation. I ain't giving you jack. Mm. And as a matter of fact, I'm coming to get some of that signing bonus back.
They might.
You ain't no might.
They just might.
How you think you gonna quit on me and then keep my money? I wish I might think you think you gonna keep my money. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get it.
I have a feeling he's gonna wake up and think I should have maybe handled that a bit differently.
Yeah. You know what?
Maybe a bit differently.
If he bench him, just go stand on the sideline. But you know what, Skip? Now that I think about it, going home. Mm-hmm. Your mind's not there. Your heart's not into it. Don't waste your time, and more importantly, don't waste mine. Because my time is more important than yours. I know your heart's not in it. You've already keep it moving. Okay. So I'm going to give him credit. It's bull jive the way he did it, Skip, because he could have handled it a better way. But we always tell guys, don't just steal money. Don't just collect the checks. Go on home if your heart's not in it. Mm-hmm. His heart wasn't in it. He went home. He just handled it in a bull jive manner. Mm-hmm. No
mercy. So the Chiefs went to Pittsburgh yesterday and beat the Steelers thanks to 6 touchdown passes by Patrick Mahomes. Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins each had 100 yards, and the Chiefs have scored 80 points in their first 2 games. On the other side, the Steelers have not looked good at all, starting their season with a tie and a loss. So, Shannon, are the Chiefs that good or are the Steelers that bad?
Skip, you know I'm a firm believer 2 things can be true.
Yep.
I believe this Chiefs offense is that good and the Steelers defense is trash.
Because
we just saw them last year in the playoffs give up 45 to Jacksonville. And we're talking about Blake Bortles. Blake Bortles got 45 against the Steelers defense. Mm-hmm. And I believe this is why you and I, neither one of us, picked them to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl.
Correct.
Because of this defense. Mm-hmm. Now, you remember a couple of years ago, they fired Dick LeBeau. Because they said the zone blitz and Dick LeBeau, he was archaic in his thinking.
Yep.
Come to find out, it's not Dick LeBeau's system. It's this these players that he has.
Yep.
Steelers, all their money is vested on the offensive side of football. You look at, they got like $14 million if Le'Veon comes back. Mm-hmm. They got another $17, $18 million tied up in Ben. They got $16 million tied up in Antonio Brown. Mm-hmm. Their left tackle, their center, their guard get paid top dollar for their position. So all their money is on the offensive side of the football. Basically, they got a few dollars tied up in Hayward, the D-tackle. But that's it, Skip. They're not very good. It's as simple as that. They aren't good. Kansas City's offense, when you talk about Tyreek Hill has track speed, but he's a football player, which is a rarity. Normally, guys that can run that fast, they don't play football very well. He can fly.
Mm-hmm.
Sammy Watkins, he can get deep. This is why they paid him, Skip, because he has that kind of ability.
They outbid my Dallas Cowboys.
Yes, and you see why. Travis Kelce, I believe, is the second best tight end in football behind Rob Gronkowski.
More athletic than Shannon Sharp, but
I wouldn't go all that far. I know he's the best.
That?
He's the best tight end I've ever seen in Kansas City, but that's none of my business.
wait a minute.
Kareem Hunt led the league in rushing.
Yep.
Can catch the ball out of the backfield. And the thing that I think Andy loves about Mahomes. If he'll put the ball up. He'll throw the ball down the field. He's not worried about his completion percentage. He's not worried about his QBR or his ratings. Mm-hmm. He's throwing the ball down the field. Mm-hmm. And we know points come out of, in big plays, come out of putting the ball up. So 2 things are true at play here. Kansas City's offense is that good. The Pittsburgh Steelers' defense is that bad.
Mm.
And when you combine those 2 things together, you get a guy in his second year throwing for 6 touchdowns, and in 2 games, the first 2 games of the season, nobody in the history of the NFL has had more touchdown passes than what Patrick Mahomes has done in his first 2 weeks.
Correct.
And this is why.
By the way, a third thing could be true also.
What?
Pittsburgh's offense is really explosive.
Yes!
They get down 21-0, and then they go boom, 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 and it's 21-21.
Yes.
And then Kansas City wins the third quarter, 14-7, and then here comes Ben back in the fourth quarter. Yep. And if I just show you the stats, which we don't have time to go through for this game,
okay.
If you just looked at the stats and didn't know the outcome, you might think the Steelers won their home game because they didn't turn it over one time, and they had more yards than Mahomes' offense had. Both teams went 4-for-4 in the red zone, which is pretty great. You know, both combined 8-for-8 in the red zone. They're just cashing like crazy. Now, quick thought on Mahomes. We've had him on the show before that draft. He's a great kid. He's made of the right stuff. His father was a very good big league pitcher. And yet what I said about him at Texas Tech is he is a high-risk, high-reward interception thrower. So just for the record, at Texas Tech as the starting quarterback, he had two games of 6 interceptions, 2 of 6. He had 4 games of 5 interceptions and 8 games of 4 interceptions. These are a high, once it goes, it just goes, because he will try just about anything at any time.
Yeah.
But the beautiful thing that's happening is once Andy Reid says, that's my guy, then Andy Reid, who is a savant at teaching young quarterbacks, we saw what he did with Donovan McNabb and on and on. Mm-hmm. Well, he's going to make him the best he can be. And so far, so great. Will he try some things later this year that he shouldn't try and throw some picks? He probably will. But now we're back to this question. I think this was far more about Pittsburgh. It's just a troubled football team, and I can't figure all of it out. But the way they turned on Le'Veon, I've never seen that before. We talked about we'd never seen Vontae Davis, somebody just retire at halftime. I'd never seen a team just turn on its star running back.
Right.
When his money is on the table in question. And they all said, heck with him. And so now, I don't know, do they bring back Le'Veon? They only had 33 yards rushing yesterday, so it was all through the flying circus through the air.
Right.
But are they, do you think they'll bring back Le'Veon this week? Probably so. I think they probably do. Will that fix what ails them? I don't think it will.
Skip.
I don't know.
You look at Mahomes. Skip, he was 23 of 28, 326, 6 touchdowns. They had all these points on 54 plays. The average game is somewhere between 60 and 65 plays.
Yeah, this kid in his second game starting is just saying, I'll take that, then I'll take that, and then I'll do that.
What makes them so difficult is that you almost have to play exclusively zone because Tyreek Hill is so fast.
He eats
up a cushion. Okay, now you got Travis Kelce. What are you going to do with him? You going to take your line? You want your linebacker or your safety dealing with Travis Kelce? And then you got Sammy Watkins on the other side. Running backs like having what we call light box, Skip. They don't want that eighth guy. They want 6 or 7. So now, and plus we got to worry about, we got Sammy Watkins on one side, we got Tyreek Hill, and we got Travis Kelce. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't turn the ball over, because remember, you mentioned those games. He had 8 games of 4 interceptions. Mm-hmm. I think he also had a game where he threw for 700 yards.
No, he does. No, he does. Against my Oklahoma Sooners.
Yeah. He had a game where he threw for 700 yards.
No, I got it.
We know what
he's got a huge arm.
Big,
yeah, and he's got great charisma about him.
What game was that, Skip? Was that, I think that was in the preseason, Atlanta, where he threw the ball 70 yards in the air to Tyreek Hill.
No, he did. He out threw 2 defenders in that throw.
So,
okay, remember, bottom line, Mike Tomlin's forte and expertise is defense. The defensive side, so something's going to have to give here pretty soon.
You can go defense all you want to, but at the end of the day, Skip, you better have some studs.
Yep.
Yeah, Bob Baffert has 2 Triple Crown winners.
Mm-hmm.
2, American Pharoah and Justify.
Mm-hmm.
They're not Shetland ponies. They're not Clydesdale. They're not Shires. You know, I know nobody, you know, your boy, horse guy.
I'm a horse guy, too.
No, you don't know about no
horse. I'm a horse guy.
I won the Eclipse Award for horse race coverage. You got to give me a break.
How?
Because I was really good
recount,
at it.
Recount.
Oh, wow.
Yep, I want to recount.
A long time ago,
agree
I did.
Yeah.
Surprising.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts. Sports. One of one.